When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How can one community say that they know how to run a government and know how to run institutions? You know what I mean? It's the same thing. People are still people. People are people everywhere.
I don't even think this is an interesting conversation topic.
I think it's good because I think it's good because I'm getting your. I'm riling you up. People
are in. You are. You're pissing me off.
It's awesome.
I'm trying to.
I love it.
I haven't thought about this in
video. Listeners, video watchers are seeing that I'm having a great time, and Patrick is getting more and more animated. I'm just leaning back, and I'm just throwing little pot shots over there. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast with the registered God particle on the hip. It's your boy, Ethan.
Not Patrick. That's a good one.
This is a comedy podcast where we talk about the Catholic faith and life, and we think Dracula Flow 5. Dracula Flow 1 through 4, but that was kind of, we talked about that before, but now.
That was on the bonus podcast.
I got to tell you, so I watched, you're Patrick and I'm Ethan, we do a comedy podcast.
Oh yeah, I'm Patrick, he's Ethan.
We've been doing this for a long time, we're happy that you're here. Everyone should talk about the faith the way that we do. We're right, everyone else is wrong. I listened to the entirety of Dracula Flow 5 on my way to confession yesterday. And it was like, it sounds weird because I did go to church, but I was having a religious experience in the car.
Yeah. It's
because I was thinking the whole time that we were driving, I was thinking like somebody had to write these bars.
There's no way he's just coming up with these.
There's no way someone wrote just casually one day, hold on, this blunt has a family somewhere worried as hell. Like, that's just a crazy thing.
That's just so
to
funny.
Write down. It's such a funny sentence. And I was thinking about
there's
it.
There were a couple that I laughed really hard at that we just can't. Oh,
we can't
say
on the podcast.
I'm in the club listening to the brown note. That's so funny.
That is pretty good.
That's so good.
It is pretty good. If you have a high tolerance for sexual jokes
and weirdness
and drug related humor, watch Dracula Flow. It's one of the funny. There's a few gems in the midst of the of some of the other things. But anyway, I confessed to the priest. I was like, "Bless me, Father, for I sin. I'm not as funny as the guy who made Dracula Flow 5." And he looked at me and he said, "I do not know what that is." And then he gave me absolution. And actually the priest, Father Monty, gave me some really good advice this week. But he was not familiar with Dracula Flow 5. So I pulled it up in the confessional and we watched it. We laughed.
It's like around the screen.
Around the screen, I'm holding my phone. Very good. He liked it.
I got chastised by a Vietnamese man.
No.
In confession. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just there. It wasn't the priest. Not
nice. That's funny.
But yeah, no, he was like, "Do not sin," and I'm not gonna do the whole voice. But he was like,
"It's hard to do a Vietnam voice.
It's bad when you sin. Yeah, it's difficult."
Yeah.
But anyway, so a tornado hit my parents' house.
Nice.
Yeah,
you're in it right now.
Yeah, it's going by.
So clearly, it was not that good of a tornado.
Yeah. Right. I guess a tornado hit my parents' neighborhood, and then a tree hit my parents' house. To be more precise.
Sure.
But yeah, I was driving to my parents, and it was like driving through. It was like post hurricane kind of feel, you know, like everything's this about like it's normal. Oh, that house no longer has a roof. Awesome.
Yeah, remind you of Katrina.
Sad. It no could first of all, Katrina was in New Orleans. We did go. We didn't. My dad went out, but Katrina was worse. I'll say that.
Katrina was not in New Orleans, bro. It was in the ocean.
This is a fight they would have on like a more successful podcast.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? Yeah. Where one guy's like, no, Katrina was not in New Orleans.
No, it's never, and it also wasn't, it was on New Orleans, if anything. It's kind of like a...
Yeah, right, good point. I guess Katrina wasn't walking down Bourbon Street going to Cafe Dumont. I'm in New Orleans! What's up? It's Mardi Gras.
It's Mardi Gras, and I'm...
I know about New Orleans.
I'm in New Orleans. What's up? I'm the hurricane with the highest murder percentage in the Northern Hemisphere.
What's up, guys? George Bush sent me.
What's up? Zion Williamson.
Yeah,
he
dude.
Plays for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh.
And he's a big guy. They should name the next Hurricane Zion because of how fat Zion Williamson
is. Crazy. It's crazy they lost a basketball team.
Yes.
They had the New Orleans Jazz.
Yeah.
They sent them to Utah. They got a new basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we got to find what's the other thing everyone knows about New Orleans? Pelicans.
No, they were actually the Hornets.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong about all of this, but I'm pretty sure that because Chris Paul was on the team. Someone is in their car screaming at me, but Chris Paul was on the team and they moved to Oklahoma City. So it was the New Orleans, like after Katrina, they moved the basketball team to Oklahoma City. And so I thought it was the Hornets that moved, not the Pelicans. I don't think the Pelicans existed yet. I think it was the Hornets, and they still had the Charlotte Bobcats. And then when they added another team in the West, so when they added the Thunder, they had to add a team in the East. When they moved them back, they made the Charlotte team from the Bobcats to the Hornets, and they made the New Orleans Pelicans was a new thing because they took the Jazz away. So they picked like the second most New Orleansy thing that they can.
Oh, so like
with.
What I said, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I'm just letting you know that it wasn't the Pelicans
right.
during Katrina. It was the Hornets. So the Pelicans didn't come until like 2007 or 2008.
Do they make more NBA teams? They make mm-hmm. NBA teams more often than they make like NFL and or MLB teams.
Certainly, I mean the most recent was the one that I just said. It was less than 20 years ago. And then they're probably going to expand again in the next 5 to 10 because Vegas needs a team. And
we should get Melbourne a team, you know?
Florida?
They recently released the list of
the most likely places to get a team. I forget which. Vegas is for sure on the list for the West, but I'm not sure what city is going to get one on the East.
Should be Orlando. Wait.
Famously.
We got one of those.
Yeah.
The Magic. The only team name that makes sense.
Because of Disney?
Mm-hmm. Houston Rockets? They don't even have Rockets there.
Houston, we have a problem. It's one of the most famous things to say about Rockets ever.
Yeah,
other
but
than,
they don't have
other
the
than
Rockets
looking into
in
this.
Houston. They don't have the they have decommissioned Rockets in Houston. They don't have Rockets in Houston.
James Harden played there for a long time. He was a decommissioned Rocket. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Charles Barkley. Yeah,
They have Rockets. They put the Rockets there that don't work anymore. You know where they put the Rockets that do work? Space Coast.
Space?
The Space Coast.
No,
space.
No, they put them in the Rockets that work go
yeah,
into space.
They put them in there, but they bring them back here.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
in
them
the ocean.
In space, and then they back, and then 2 out of every 5 blow up. But that's fine.
That's a good. That's within industry standards.
Industry standards is 2 out of 5.
I have a coworker who recently went to California. She said that she saw some SpaceX launch and she was really concerned because she thought that America was getting attacked. And I was like,
wait, she was
no.
like in California and saw a SpaceX launch?
Apparently.
Or no, she went to Florida to see one.
No, she was in California.
Oh, were they launching a satellite?
Yeah. Are you jealous?
No, because
we
had, we already
you jealous
had,
that other
no.
states have space stuff.
We had this conversation on the podcast before. There's no launch pads in the United States.
You don't
states
like it that the other states get to launch it into space.
There's no launch pads outside of Florida. We had
denial.
This conversation.
Let's look it up.
SpaceX. I don't know why. Presumably, there's other places to blast stuff into the atmosphere.
Yes. SpaceX.
We've already done this on the podcast.
SpaceX California launch.
It was. We had this conversation where I was like,
"Listen to me right now. See how Sunday's SpaceX rocket launch looked around Southern California. A SpaceX rocket and its exhaust plume were illuminated by the setting sun Sunday in the sky over Los Angeles. The rocket had been launched about 8:47 p.m. from the Santa Barbara County coast and could be seen for miles around Southern California. Below are some images of the rocket.
We had a conversation where we were like, oh, I was like, that's the only launch pad. And you were like, no, it's not. And I was like, oh, it must be the only manned mission launch pad. Like they must launch satellites from other places.
Probably.
But they've only we've only ever sent people to space from Brevard County, Florida.
Nice. Cool. All right, I want you to look at some of the images here and just don't say anything. This is for our visual listeners only.
It's crazy that he managed that.
It just looks a little bit like a
How did they do that?
How did they make it look like that?
How did he do that?
How do you make it look like a seventh grade biology textbook up there?
There you go.
Anyway.
Jeez. Anyway, so tornadoes and rockets are in Florida.
Yes. Yeah, so are your parents okay? Is everyone fine?
Yes. Okay. My mom like texted me and then called me in a panic. She's like, "Are you guys okay?" And I was like, "Why?" She was like, "Well, I was just sitting in the outside." She was sitting there, and all of a sudden, she heard my dad yell and scream. And so, like, when you're,
like,
you know.
Like Tom when he gets hit with a frying pan.
And more like Goofy when he falls off a cliff. Yowie!
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, my dad, like, is always sitting outside on the porch. You see my dad posted up out there with a book.
He loves to be posted up.
A tree, like, flew and, like, hit the house across the street.
Right.
And then another, like, tree branch came flying from behind our house and hit my mom's car. It was crazy.
But everyone's fine.
Yeah, everyone's okay.
Do you have to move? Are your parents going
to
move?
Sean, we can't find Sean, but we're okay.
We can't find Sean. But that's not new. That's happened before.
That's happened before. We probably forgot him at church on Sunday.
It's probably, given what you've told me today, I think it's safer for you to move up here to Oklahoma with me to avoid the tornadoes.
Yeah, right? I was like, I moved down here to not have to deal with tornadoes, man.
What's the deal? I didn't know Florida got tornadoes. I thought they had like hurricanes, Cubans. I thought those were the only things that came to Florida.
No, rockets. Oh no, rockets go away from Florida.
Rockets go away, then come back. What's the deal?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I have not heard of a tornado in Florida in a while. Apparently they do happen.
You got tornado sirens down there? Like, do they kind of no sort of That's whack.
Nope. It's crazy that you have tornado sirens.
They go off every Saturday at noon.
Just to test?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
It freaked you out when you were here that one time. You were like, what is that? And we were like, it's just the test. It's just like a local thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah. It's like every manned tornado system test has happened inside of Oklahoma County.
Oklahoma County?
That is the county I live in. I'm not joking.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's really easy to remember. You live in Oklahoma City in Oklahoma County in Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma.
State.
Yeah.
That's
pretty easy. I know. Now someone's going to dox me and find my location.
Yeah, man.
And post my face job.
I resent the fact that you don't think that it's cool that every manned spacecraft in the last, 60 years has been launched from Brevard. That is cool.
You can resent. It's not.
That is cool. I resent that. It's cool that sometimes I drive to work and go, oh, look, a rocket is going off up to space. That's
crazy. A homeless guy.
Yeah, but he's watching the rocket, too.
That's true. Doing space flights so the homeless people have something to clap for.
Me and this homeless guy are standing there looking at the sky going, wow, it's really cool that we live here, man. Yeah, dude, totally. No, so the homeless people that live on the inland, They sometimes get mean. Yeah, I was on the phone with Ethan the other day.
Yeah, what happened?
Someone owed him money. That just happened.
It was a lot of yelling. I was worried that Patrick was going to – I was going to start hearing, like, that noise when
pow,
someone
– yeah.
Yeah, and like bang, pow, 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 pow.
And I just crossed the other side of the street. Homeless people don't.
And then the tinkle of bullets as they fall from Patrick's muscular form because they did not penetrate his skin.
I thought you meant as I shoot the gun.
That too. That'd be crazy if you unloaded a clip while you were on the phone with me. We were just talking about the Crunch Catholic podcast. That would be the coolest thing that would ever happen.
I was visiting my friend who works in an office downtown, and he I called him ahead of time because there had been a shooting, the active shooter that ended up being fine. That I called him, like, hey, you okay? He's like, yeah, it's all right. Where I'm from, we shoot back. I was like, nice, dude. He's had that ready to go.
Where I'm from. Where's he from?
Melbourne. He's from Melbourne, too. And I was like, yeah, we do shoot back. Those cops did shoot back. That guy died.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They got him.
That's what you get for shooting at police.
You should not do that. You know? Yeah.
Not a good idea. Mm-mm.
Suicide they have infinite. They have infinite backup, you know? It's not the Wild West anymore.
That's true.
If they run out of guys in the local, they just call the sheriff. And if they run out of guys with the sheriffs, they call the
state.
The National Guard. Yeah.
No, it's they just go to state first, then the National Guard. And then they bring in the Army. And then they call. And then they redirect the rockets back to this guy. As our last.
They take the rockets that are coming. Anyway, man.
We take out Melbourne to take out that one guy.
They would never sacrifice Melbourne. Melbourne is too integral to the economy of the United States.
Melbourne could disappear today, and the only person outside of Florida that would notice would be me, because we would not be able to record our show anymore.
No, that's not true.
I am the ambassador to Melbourne from the rest of the country. That's the
Everybody
job that I play.
Everybody loves Melbourne. Everybody loves Melbourne. No. You're the only person I've ever met who's come to Melbourne and has been like, I actually didn't. That's fine. I didn't like it that much.
I spent a day there. It was hot.
Yeah. It wasn't that hot for July.
It was pretty hot. I had to go to this wedding.
The wedding was fun, right?
Wedding was a great time, but the wedding wasn't actually in Melbourne. We had to drive 45 minutes in a van.
That's true.
And I was in the back of the van, you and me. We were in the back of the van.
We were.
And I just had to sit next to you after you'd gotten married, which was a great time.
Uh-huh.
But the whole time I was like, this guy should be consummated. I wish this van was just for you, you know?
No, it's all good. That's for later.
It's all good.
It's all good.
You worked it out.
We figured it out eventually. We had two kids. Good. Had sex twice. That's...
Well done.
Total.
I was gonna say something about Melbourne wiping it off the map. Oh, you can watch the debate tonight, man. Predictions.
Yeah, but predictions for the debate.
For the debate, because this is gonna come out on Sunday.
Yeah. So there's gonna be some kind of controversy about
the delay.
Some kind of controversy about the delay. Yeah. There's gonna be some
crazy.
Kind of leaked. There's gonna be leaked footage.
Yeah.
That shows Joe Biden. His lizard suit falls off a little bit, and then they're like, "Yeah, it's my predictions."
What if he's? I would love to find out that Joe Biden is one of the human-sized robots from Transformers.
That'd be cool.
That goes, and that's like how he talks.
Why don't they have an audience?
The Transformers movies have declined in popularity for a few reasons. I think number one, they lack the star power of Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox. Right. Once Megan Fox started getting all of those lip fillers and Botox treatments, she was not the young starlet that she once was. She was also had an alleged disagreement with Michael Bay on the set of the second movie that led him to not cast her in the third film. Now, I would also say that there's an ongoing apathy towards CGI big blockbuster films. But nevertheless, the Transformers movies still are making tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. Each installment. So I think they've got an audience.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's not what I meant. Why don't they have an audience at the presidential debate?
Oh, probably because they're not showing Transformers. Imagine it's a presidential debate and the whole time in the background, you're just watching Transformers 1 and 2.
You're just locked in. I see Bumblebee.
That's a way to get Gen Z to pay attention is to have Subway Surfers.
Subway Surfers in the back of the presidential debate.
Yeah.
Brother.
I don't think they're having an audience because I think that I don't know, genuinely, it's like if I'm the party in power, right? And I'm just thinking practically, how can I reduce the chance that our presidential candidate looks like a fool on live TV? That's the only thing I'm thinking about. So that means we're not having a live audience, and we're going to do a longer delay, and we're going to have a mute button on the microphone so that, you know, Don can't talk over him and overwhelm him. And these are going to be my terms. Donald is probably going to take these terms because he's prideful. He needs to debate Joe.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stack the deck in my favor and say Joe will only debate because Joe's the president. So you can just say the president is too busy to do anything other than this. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, you're right. You know president. What I mean? Yeah. That is kind of the perk of stealing the election last time, is now you can set the rules for this election.
Now you can set that this time.
Yeah.
Verify 2020.
As we still haven't. Still hasn't been verified. Yeah.
We got verified, but 2020 hasn't been. I'm not interested in the debate necessarily. I'm excited for the clips to come out, looking for the highlights.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the
It's sad that they don't let them talk over each other, because that's where the magic really happens, you know? Yeah. I'm afraid it's going to be not very memeable, because it's like there's all these clips of Trump just clowning Jeb Bush, and it's so funny because Jeb is like trying to talk and he just interrupts him, and he's like, Jeb is talking about his mother and about like how much he loves his mom and how powerful of a woman she is. And Trump just goes, then she should be running. And he just pops in with that line. It's a great line, but like, he won't be able to do that anymore. You know,
it's crazy that he can do stuff like that still. It's crazy that his brain is capable
of
thinking that quick, you know?
I mean, this was 8 years ago, so who knows?
That's what kind true. Of a lot can happen decline. In 8 years.
It's hard. I mean, you get indicted on felonies, you know, you have the weight of the world on your shoulders, you shake Kim Jong-un's hand,
couple times.
Defuse Russia, you bring back the economy. It takes a toll on a guy, you know?
I want to talk about the right wing today.
Oh,
I don't know if you had
good.
A topic in mind, but I have
a let's talk about the RW.
I
the manosphere, the red pill.
I grabbed a copy of a new book by a right wing pundit, and his claim, I don't necessarily I recognize what he was doing. I think it's very clever. It's not about us versus them. People Whoa. Pick up on that too quickly. He's condemned us versus them rhetoric. Okay.
Whoa.
He was condemning us versus them rhetoric. In the left is the us versus them. They're Marxists. They blah, blah, all this stuff. And he's condemning us versus them rhetoric, and then he talks about us versus them. It's very, very, very interesting. But the way that he could get around it is, it's not us versus them. It's us and them, and then like the neutral people in between. And he uses the term normies.
It's me.
And he's like, the normies are all going that way. And it's not their fault.
Which way is that way?
In the left. They're going the left because they're being programmed.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. We can bring them back. And I'm like, this is genius, because you're still able to do the us versus them, but people can like feel better about like their neighbors are just normies, you know?
Yeah, it's just another way to reduce people down.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like, It's great because it's not the friend enemy distinction, you know. It's not the Carl Schmitt friend enemy distinction. It's the friend enemy neutral, and it's like, oh, and if you're not for us, you're accidentally for them. But I know you didn't mean to be for them, so I'll let it slide this time. But you better come over here quickly, otherwise you're them, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was clever, but that's not what I wanted.
It is. Oh, okay.
So no, say a thought. I don't actually have a thing I want to talk about. I just want to mention there are a couple ideas from this book I want to run by you.
No, that's good. I think it's interesting to talk about like a third group of people, because everyone sort of sorts people into two camps just automatically. It's either like you are with me or you are against me. Mm-hmm. What is it that does Jesus say something about this? He's like, whoever's not against me is for me.
No.
Doesn't he say that? What does he say?
There's two separate times where he talks about that. Yeah. He says,
this is good. This is why we have a nerd on the show.
Whoever is not, Ethan called me a soy the other day.
Soy boy. It was funny because your mom was being so Chad that it overwhelmed you. Like you got pushed back.
I was so amazing. It's so funny because my mom was saying like very conspiracy theory, right wing, red pill talking points.
Yeah.
Because they're just like common knowledge in her very professional job.
She's just noticing things.
Yeah, she's like, it's my right mother wing is to a notice. Professional. It's right wing to, yeah, right. But anyway, it was funny. So, what was I talking about? You called me soy.
You were talking about when Jesus talks about four.
Oh, yes. I was a nerd. Jesus talks about this in two places. One, he says, whoever is not for me is against me. So if you're not explicitly for Christ, you're against him. But talking to his apostles, he says,
yes, this is what I was
whoever
saying.
Is not against you is for you.
Right.
Yeah. But this is kind of the opposite. It's like if they're not for us, they're like for the other side. So they're kind of against us.
Yeah. I think it's just weird to us. Well, because that middle group, the normies, the people who can be easily swayed, the people who were, you know, Black Lives Matter in 2016, but are now more right wing, like the people that kind of get pushed back and forth depending on upon the tides. Yeah. I think we're normies. Do you not think that we're normies?
Yeah.
Look at us. Look at who I've got on the wall here.
One time I called Pope John Paul II a normie saint to Teresa, and she got really upset with me.
Why? It's true.
I said that her household had all the normie saints. It was Saint John Paul, it was Saint Faustina, and Saint Teresa of Lisieux, and Saint Peter. And I was like, normies, all of them, normie saints.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
No, not at all.
Oh man, now I forgot what I was saying. It was really
we are normies. The normies are in the middle.
We're normies, and we get pushed. We get pushed left and right, you know. And I think that's that doesn't mean anything about the normies as a collective. Mm-hmm. It just means that, as always, it's kind of like the masses have always been this like manipulative body, according to that philosophy, which. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some truth to it, but it always takes like one or two individuals to start a movement to move that mass. You know, like you can't just like say stuff. Like there needs to be some type of personality or thing that is aspirational that people can look to that will actually shift the tides. And I think, I don't know what his solutions are about the problem, but I think the beauty of leftism is that anybody can set themselves up to be an aspirational figure because you can win very easily. You could just win super easily just by losing, right? Like by being super LGBTQ, super on the race issues, super this, that, or the other thing, right? As soon as somebody speaks against you, you've won and you've now turned yourself into an aspirational like a martyr victim, you know, to be mm-hmm. upheld. And so there's way more of those on the left than there are on the right. Like how many aspirational people are there on the right? You know, like in your average day-to-day context,
Mitt Romney.
Many. But every HR lady in every mid-sized company is like, sets herself up to be that. So there's just more of that. Yeah. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's kind of how I think
came from
it.
Adversity and now I make $60,000 a year sending emails.
Yeah. Right.
You can too. Yeah. No, mm-hmm. it's stuff like that. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. It's I'm reading this book because I heard that the guy who ghost wrote it got paid $100,000 to write this book.
Patrick's new grift.
My new grift. And I was interested in, okay, this person's written like 80 books for different people. He's getting paid a lot to write a persuasive piece of mm-hmm. content. And so I'm interested in his methods. And so I listened to a couple of chapters today. I'm probably going to listen to the book to see how he lays out the argument over the whole course of the book. But his other point, one piece that I mentioned is he's answering an overarching question that is not, I don't think you could write a book that's like, why do conservatives fail? Like you can't write that book. That's not a salacious title. But he answers that question. I think it's a question a lot of conservatives have is, why do conservatives keep failing? And he actually gives the New Polity answer.
Really?
Yeah, this guy gives the New Polity answer of, but he doesn't give the New Polity solution. He gives the New Polity answer like conservatives are failing because you're cast in the role of the oppressor,
right?
And you play the game, mm-hmm. and you try to win on the merits of your argument, but you don't understand that. That he says, like, we say all the time, facts don't care about your feelings. Feelings don't care about your facts. Like, they don't care about your facts. And they're, so they're going to win. Like, they, you've already lost because you're trying to be like, oh, well, 13%, 50%. No one cares. Mm-hmm. That's, even if that's true, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you're going to lose. And so that's the New Polity answer, but the non-New Polity solution. New Polity is a think tank that we like, by the way. It's run by some very smart Catholic guys out of Steubenville. There is like, we got to take over the institutions. We got to retake the institutions. So that's his solution. He's got to retake the institutions, which is a non-New Polity answer. It's more of a,
what's the New Polity answer?
The New Polity answer is the institutions are inherently corrupt. Like, it's not that the institutions aren't this like neutral thing that you can like one side can get a hold of and then the other side can get a hold of. As if the institutions are this neutral ground that you can like, oh, we can take over the colleges. Like, the colleges are liberal. Like, they are liberal structures. You can't just take over the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy is liberal. You can't take it over and then make it conservative now. The New Polity's, it's like, New Polity's solution is like, you got to rebuild the society from the ground up, starting with the most basic cells, which are the family, the neighborhood, and the city, and then move your way up. And This is a big debate at the conference. I wish more people were here for the first conference, because it was such an incredible debate between Andrew Willard Jones and Chad Pechnold.
Who?
They were just so, I mean, it's like, these guys are on the cutting edge of like of Catholic political thought. I understand that's not interesting to everybody, but they were arguing very well, like very, very, very well intentioned and very intelligent men, talking about whether people should retreat from society. Or from, I've lost Ethan.
Sorry, my wife is texting me. I'm here.
No, that's okay.
I'm locked in.
I was like, oh no.
I'm listening.
That happens sometimes. They're arguing like, should Catholics retreat from society, or should we like try to ascend to the heights? And Dr. Jones's argument was like, you can't, because it's a liberal structure. It's built on the assumption that people are going to be sinful. And when a society is built on the assumption of vice, vice flourishes. When it's built on the assumption of virtue, virtue flourishes. And Chad thought the opposite. He's like, no, we need to control for vice, and like, we are gonna go and be in Washington, and we're gonna protect your little thing over here in Steubenville, but like, you couldn't do this without us, because we're gonna take over Washington. That was the debate, basically. And it was an interesting discussion. I don't like the Chad argument. I think Chad is
I mean, I think he is, you know, until a city is actually built by people that operates on the virtues that you've stated, then it doesn't work. You know what I mean?
But that's the point. It's like, you gotta go build that. You gotta go do
that. But nobody's done it yet.
Yeah. So like, you gotta go do it. Like, we can't just be like, oh, we're gonna make it possible for people to go do it. It's like, I don't know. I'm probably not articulating the argument well, but it's like,
it's possible for me to dig a huge hole in my backyard, but like, why would I do that? You know, possible doesn't mean someone should do it.
Yeah. But I mean, the city thing is like, Dr. Jones's point was like, the only way you're going to move Washington is by a community of families and people that care about each other. Like, that's what
it's
every
not true.
Society
it's not
is.
True. No, yes. It's not true. There are lots of ways to move Washington.
Dude, how do you think? How do you
sexual
think
bribery,
works?
Sexual bribery,
yes, exactly.
Monetary
that's
bribery.
My point. That's the
force.
Point. Yes.
A gun to your head.
Shut up. That's how things work.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, and it's like, it's community and it's organization, right? And it's like, the community in Washington now is run by sexual libidinousness.
Yes.
And so,
with children.
And so you're like, oh, I'm going to go to Washington, and I'm going to make that good. How?
Yes.
You're just going to be up until you figure it out. Just work your way up.
Oh, wow.
Sorry I said that on the podcast. You want to cut that out, Ryan?
Yeah, Ryan, please don't let Patrick say that on the show.
Hey,
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just got out of a cold shower, and boy, are my arms tired.
I just got out of prison. And I need something to get my spiritual life back on track.
Speaking of prison, thank you to Exodus 90 for sponsoring this episode of our podcast. If you've done Exodus 90, you might have felt like you were in a prison of not being able to watch television. But Exodus 90 is more than sacrifices and cold showers and asceticism.
Yes.
Exodus 90 has an app of reflection and prayer for you to use throughout the year.
Yes.
That you might not be aware of. It's at exodus90.com/thecrunch. Say yes. That first, but then you can talk.
No, exodus90.com/thecrunch is the place to go. Instead of being, you know, in jail, not having snacks because I didn't have enough money in my commissary, I am now not eating snacks because of Exodus 90. Exodus90.com/crunch is the place to be. And this month, they're doing a special course in anticipation of the National Eucharistic Congress, special course on the Eucharist that you can get if you go to exodus90.com/crunch. You get 14-day free trial, and you can go deeper as we as a nation prepare for the National Eucharistic Congress. It's a big ticket item, but Exodus 90's got some really, really great stuff on there about the Eucharist that you're going to want to see. Exodus90.com/crunch for the 14-day trial. Patrick, you've been liking what they've been doing.
I've been liking what they put it out. I knew about this app a while ago before they sponsored the podcast. I used it when I did Exodus 90, and I can highly recommend it. So exodus90.com/thecrunch, 14-day free trial. Thank you, Exodus 90, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
Do it now, or else my prison sentence was in vain. Patrick, you're always talking about how you're reading books.
I'm protesting. I'm not reading books anymore.
You're not reading books anymore?
No, you need to convince me to read a book. I don't want to read books anymore.
I need to convince my friends to read a book.
I don't want to read books anymore. I want to watch television and sit
on the couch. I'm going to use pathos here and appeal to your emotions because you're my friend. Yes. Today, I started reading Alec Mauley's Out of Sons, a wonderful fictional tale about two brothers that go on a journey to rekindle some love, maybe have an adventure. Maybe find out what brotherhood is actually about. I was reading it, first of all, because the author's a friend of mine. He sponsors a show. But then as I got about 20 pages into it, I was like, hold on a minute. My guy, who's a friend of mine from college, actually wrote a pretty compelling book.
Dang.
I know. I was like, shoot, this is good. He gets a lot of stuff right about what it's like to be a guy, about what it's like to be growing up in a world where a desk job feels like the only choice, or if you're not doing that, then you're basically working as a lawn care person for the rest of your life. Like these two young men that are just wrestling with like, how do I live my life? How do I not let down my dad? How do I be a good person whenever it's so easy to not be a good person? I really think you'd like the book and I think you should read it.
Well, I'm convinced. I know I'm doing like a bit, but every time you talk about, for some reason, Alec, the book is not getting to my house. Please send, you're torturing me. I'm hearing about this book and I'm like, honestly, I'm just going to go buy it. That's actually, yeah. I've decided I'm just going to buy it because first of all, I'm telling everyone else to do it. So I should probably do it myself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to go buy this book. You should all do it too. Out of Sons by Alec Mauley. It is out on Amazon now. Go check it out.
I read half of the book in one sitting today.
Wow. So is that good?
I'm not joking. So everybody get the book, read it. Out of Sons by Alec Mauley. Get it on Amazon. Link is in the bio.
Like that's what you're going into. You're going into this world that's like built on sin, and you're gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna come out clean. Yeah. It's like, no, you're not. You know, it's you can't change it like that. And if you do, you have to do it by like, this is how kingdoms are, right? It's like the royal family mm-hmm. all knows each other, and the powerful families in the city know each other. And if they're virtuous, they get virtuous together. If they're not virtuous, they get vicious together.
No, Jesus, don't go down to earth. It's a corrupt institution. Those humans are so corrupt. I'm Lucifer. Stay up here with me and all the angels. What's the point of going down there and being good in a world that's so bad?
Great point. So what happened when Jesus ran for the position of high priest? What happened? Did he win?
Well, the super PAC was very strong.
My point is that like what Jesus did is he went to earth and he went to Nazareth, right? Yes. It's like, and that ended up being more powerful because look, all eyes on Steubenville, right? For no reason other than like, they're saying, we're not going to do what you do. We're not going to seek the things that you seek.
Yeah, but it's not working. You know what I mean? Like,
it hasn't been going on for a while. What do you mean it's not working?
Well, people are. Here's the thing: it's like the it's hard for me to acknowledge something impractical. Like, yes, I agree with you in like the grand sense of like, oh, it would be nice if everyone could burn down the current structures. And it's reframe not about, them themselves.
Ah, you're misrepresenting my point, but go on.
I'm not trying to. I just think that an idea is good in theory, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's good in practice.
Ah, sure. I think we can learn a lesson from Hitler. So we, the way the fascists came to power, and I think this is the way anyone comes
I took a
to
test
power.
Today online. It said I was 43% fascist. I don't know what means.
I took a test today and it said I was in. I took a test the other day about homophobia and it says I was 100% homophobic in this area.
That's crazy.
20% homophobic in this area.
There's different areas of homophobia?
I know. And I was like, apparently I'm like batting 1,000 in one homophobia, but I have a lot of work to do in some other homo. I think it was because all of my answers were like, yeah, I think it should all be illegal, but I don't like hate gay people. And right. They were like, whoa, that's not how that's supposed to work. Anyway, so the way that I think maybe I was misrepresenting my own point. So I don't think it's not that when they're building it up, it's not that something else is being torn down. It's the very fact that you need something to replace it. Like these guys who say take over the institutions. They basically just mean, let's just do what the leftists do, but for the right cause instead of the left cause.
And the people that you're advocating for are saying, let's build our own institution and surely it will be better this time.
No, it's not building your own institution. Sorry. No, it is building your own institution.
Okay.
Yeah, it's building something that's separate. It's having a parallel economy, a parallel society that is not. It's what the early Christians did. It's in defiance of the Roman Empire because they know it can't stand. And it's the very thing that causes them to get persecuted.
I contend that it's easier and more accessible and more good will be done for people to take over currently existing institutions than to build their own.
I'm just telling you what New Polity's solution is. Sure. And I think it's I think it's a little more, I actually think it's a little more realistic because it recognizes that bureaucracy and the institutions that are built currently are inherently anti-Catholic.
But only because people are. Institutions are people, you know, so if people are Catholic, and all the people are Catholic in an institution, then that institution, even if its form is anti-Catholic, doesn't necessarily have to behave in an anti-Catholic way.
I think that's incorrect. It's because its form is anti-Catholic, it is anti-Catholic. It's like the material, it's the matter and the form, this divorce between this.
What's an institution that's anti-Catholic?
Okay. The Department of Motor Vehicles.
Okay.
All right. The Department of Motor Vehicles is like a bureau.
I don't think any conservative is saying, let's take over the DMV for the record.
That's what Hitler did first. He took over the.
Let's reconsider.
Maybe we shouldn't.
Volkswagen.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe we'll pick a different institution. I actually think hospitals are a great example.
A non-Catholic institution?
Mm-hmm. Like the current modern hospital, who funds it? Who runs it?
Okay. The state, the government.
But
I'm saying hospital, if people took it over, then they would just run it like it's supposed to be run. Like nobody is saying, let's take over these institutions and run them as they're currently being run. People are saying, let's take them over and run them as they ought to be run. And if that means they shouldn't exist, let's get rid of them. It's functionally the same thing.
It's the same thing that happens every time an administration changes, right? Where it's like, oh, the top guy, he's going to take care of things and he's going to make sure that everything runs correctly. But it's like the reality is that the president can assign 16 cabinet members and those 16 cabinet members can assign their 32 like chiefs of staff and
deputies.
Everybody underneath them has been mm-hmm. there for 40 years, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like the machine of the state is just so deeply mm-hmm. like, this is what Trump got right. Is like, mm-hmm. it is so the swamp is so deep. Mm-hmm. That it's like, how can you disentangle that without mm-hmm. how can one person say, I actually know how to run this organization correctly? How do you know that? How do you know that you can run a massive bureaucracy?
Okay.
Unless
one community say that they know how to run a government and know how to run institutions? You know what I mean? It's the same thing. People are still people. People are people everywhere.
I don't even think this is an interesting conversation topic to people.
I think it's good because I think it's good because I'm getting your I'm rallying you up.
People are in, you are you're pissing me off.
It's awesome.
I'm trying to
I love it.
I haven't thought about this in
video watchers are seeing that I'm having a great time and Patrick is getting more and more animated. I'm just leaning back and I'm just throwing little pot shots over there. You don't need to be upset, man. We're friends.
So the reality is that like from when people start at the bottom, right? It's like
mm-hmm.
society is built off of families. Like that's what a society is. And the issue with liberalism,
the first society,
it assumes society is made up of what? Individuals. Uh-huh. And so every institution is built on that fundamental understanding that human nature and human society is fundamentally individual. That's what college is based off of. That is what universities are based off of. That's what governments are based off of and cities. Everything is individual. People are atomistic. They float around. And so cities are not considered, they don't consider themselves to be individual units. League City, Texas is basically just a vassal state of Houston. It only mm-hmm. exists so that roads to Houston can be maintained and people mm-hmm. have a Kroger to shop at. Kroger. You know, that's what it exists for. Mm-hmm. And so
for their families. For their families.
No.
Yes. For people, the family, families need Kroger.
Yeah, and it's like it's for the
suburbs exist for families.
Suburbs exist so that individuals have a place where they can live in between driving to and from the city they work in. That's what suburbs exist for.
With their...
The family is irrelevant. The family is irrelevant.
If there weren't families, suburbs wouldn't be a thing. If everyone was just single, they would just live in a big megalopolis.
I don't know.
You know?
I don't
know. People like suburbs, so you got the yard, you got the dog, you know.
Sure. But the family is like an optional thing, right? It's like when you turn 18, right, you're you're basically not, you might still live at home, but like it's fundamentally about the individual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, by the way, I know families exist in liberal states. That you under, I feel like you're intentionally misunderstanding what I'm saying.
No, I'm not misunderstanding what you're saying. I'm just trying to point out the things in the argument from a perspective, because you trust me a lot, because we talk every day, and right. So I'm just trying to let you know that there's reasonable people could see the other side, you know.
All right, so think of how the way a family is constructed in our society.
Yeah,
it is functionally a series of contracts and just assumed relationships. Like, it's a bunch of contractual relationships.
Yes.
So it's between a man and a woman have entered into a contract, and they have children together. And those children are pre-individuals. One day they'll turn 18, and then they'll be able to make all their own decisions. Until then, they're like kind of, you know, this weird. Anyway, every person in, yes, what?
I'm just, don't be mad, but I don't understand, because you're saying like liberal society is so flawed that even the family is a liberal and corrupt institution. Because it's just a bunch of, you're talking about how it's just a bunch of contracts, which is not what a family really is.
I'm talking about how it's viewed by the liberal society, not by how it is in reality. That's like that's the thing, is that it's like we never talked before. All right, so a liberal society is the way that this is just John Locke. The way that he constructed the world is that everything is a social contract. The only reason why families live together is because they haven't decided to break up yet. And the only, it's the right to free association, which, by the way, is a super conservative principle that every conservative from Alex Jones all the way over to John McCain fully believes. Like, everyone has the right to free association.
John McCain is dead.
I know, right?
Poor guy.
John McCain conservatives all the way over to like the Alex Jones conservatives. They're all like, no, we have a right to free association. It's why they got all upset about the cake. They weren't defending that the gay marriage was wrong. They were like, no, a business has a right to free association. You know?
Which is true.
And so this right to free association is a liberal idea, and it's the like, oh, all relationships are fundamentally relationships between individuals. There's no, the family isn't a real thing in the liberal world. It's just a tool that's used, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to continue the society, right? You hear this in biology classes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the way the family is thought of in the liberal society, I mean, you see this in schools. Schools are probably the best example. I don't know why I didn't start out with that. It's like, why don't parents have the right to teach their kids or decide what their kids learn in public schools? It's because they don't believe the family is a real thing with real power. They believe the state is the real thing with the real power. And they're like, we have your kids and we're in charge of them because they're individuals. They need to be liberated from your, you know, whatever ideas. And so like the family is not respected. It's not seen. The family isn't seen as a real entity. The city isn't seen as a real entity. I was using League City as an example because it's not really, it's not its own city in the way that like Habsburg Germany was its own city, or a little hamlet outside of it was its own village. Like little villages that have their own economy. Okay.
Yeah.
Little villages that have their own economy and their own society and their own identity don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And so we need to recreate them. Like the institutions that we're taking over are parodies. Like, oh, you want to be on the city council? Awesome. That's great. It's probably awesome to be on the city council, but like a city council is not what it once was.
My argument is just that it's probably easier and faster to do that through the existing liberal institutions than it is to build them up on our own. Because, listen, let me finish a thought.
Yeah.
Because people are, if people behave virtuously, then they can use the tool that institution is virtuously. If people are not virtuous like they are now, then the institution's going to keep being in the liberal society like you're talking about. So it's like, in my mind, functionally, what's the difference between a bunch of virtuous people going off on their own, recreating a village economy and then a city economy and then a government and like some type of larger structure from the ground up versus those same virtuous people taking over the existing institutions and behaving in the exact same way? There's
because
no difference.
I don't think those two things are equal. You're assuming that the existing institution is the thing. Like That's not what I'm saying. It's almost, it's like, do you know Redeemed Zoomer? You heard of this guy? He's like, we got to reclaim the mainstream churches. It's like what you're looking for is not there. The mainstream churches are not.
I'm not saying we need the DMV. I'm not saying we need the DMV.
You're talking about certainly, like, the city and the towns and the.
Yeah. You can reclaim those things and then implement subsidiarity in a way that is real and powerful and in accordance with how things ought to be. You just did it a different way.
I think there's nothing wrong with doing it that way. I think that's an easier thing to do on a town and on a city level. But what they were talking about was retaking like national.
Sure.
They're talking about reconquering the capital of a global empire and being like,
right.
We're just
and how do you do that? You do that by cities and towns. And so if there's an easier way to do it at the city and town level, let's do it that way rather than having people go out and build their own parallel economy. Just take over the current economy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the Steubenville thing.
Yes. I'm saying that that's silly.
They're taking over the city.
Yes.
Yeah. But you said that was a good thing.
Why have you been arguing with me this whole time? You've been like wanting me to be disagreed with. But I think all I was saying is that I think it's faster and easier to do what this guy is saying and just take over the current institutions.
Like
and
the
make
national
them
ones?
National, local, doesn't matter.
I think there's a difference. I think the local ones are easy. I think like we've talked about this with the Masonic Lodge. A Masonic Lodge can take over a town.
Yes.
But I don't think a Freemason from George Mason University or wherever they make Freemasons should come to like, you know, Arcadia and be like, you know what, we're gonna take over we're gonna just take over Washington, D.C.
But where,
you know,
do
like,
all the people, where do all the people from Washington, D.C. come from? They all come from the local institutions. And so if you take over them here, then you will take over them there. What do you mean, eh? It's just logic.
Well, they all come from like Yale and Harvard, but I see what you're saying.
but they go from Yale and Harvard, but then they go through their state governor's office. Yeah. They go through the state Congress. They go through whatever other lobbying. I mean, some of them go through the business route, which is fine, but it's just... There's another way to do it.
The Steubenville versus the Washington, D.C. conversation was, should you take over a city first or should you take over the national government first? And
if I had a button that I could push?
Yeah, and Jones's point was, no, what do you spend? No, it's less about what do you spend your effort doing? Do you, you only have a limited amount of time in your life. So do you spend time trying to reform your city? Or do you spend time trying to reform Washington, D.C.?
It depends on how much influence you have.
Yes. And I think that these Catholic University guys think they have more influence than they do.
Certainly.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And so that's why like it's probably more worth your time to like focus on your family and your city and maybe your state, but like that's already too big. Your state is the size of a country. You know,
I just think it's counterintuitive or counterproductive to counter signal the people who are like, we're going to take over the institutions. Cause I think that's will do more good than harm. Ultimately, if they're virtuous people, you know,
it was less. I don't know if Jones's point was like, oh, you shouldn't try. I think they shouldn't try.
I think you're wrong about that.
I think it's probably, I don't want to try.
You don't have to try.
I think it would be a waste of time for me to try.
Yes.
I
with
think
that
it would
attitude,
be a waste
certainly.
Of time for most people to try. But I'm a guy who lives in Melbourne, Florida, a city where we've mentioned would not be missed. So I went to, you know, not a very prestigious, like I'm not in the class that makes a difference in Washington, D.C. It's like, that's a reality. I can make differences in other ways on the national stage, but it's like, you can't do that. And I think I think this was Dr. Jones's main point. He's like, go and do it. That's fine. And thank you for mm-hmm. your help, I guess. They were kind of being jerkbags about it. Like, you can only do this because we're in DC. Yeah. I think Jones's point was like, go and do that, but like, understand that you have to do that with your families. Like, you guys need a community of families mm-hmm. together that are like, we're dedicated to making a good our neighborhood in DC. Like, people in DC still live in houses in neighborhoods, and they can't neglect those just because they live in the powerful city. You mm-hmm. know, they still have to make their city great. I mean, that's a big problem in Washington, DC. The city itself sucks. The mayor is awful. You know, my family lives near there, and they're like, they're always talking about DC politics.
Lori,
there's a mayor of DC, and it's like, who cares? You know?
Yeah.
Imagine being the
mayor.
House
of Cards. In House of Cards, the mayor of DC wore eyeliner. I'm pretty sure. No, but it wasn't like, it was tasteful.
Oh.
He looked good.
Was it a man?
Yeah. It was a guy. Mm. I like how you said, ooh, not knowing it was a guy.
I'm sorry we fought. I hope that was good for our listeners.
I had fun. There was only one person here getting mad.
You got mad at the end. I was frustrated because I didn't know how to like articulate, because the new polity guys are confusing and I'm not as smart as them. And sometimes they say things and I'm like, the frick are you talking about?
Also, this stuff like doesn't matter too much to me, because it's like, I got bills to pay, man. You know what I mean? I got Pokemon Go to the bathroom. Like, I got stuff to do.
I got a Pokemon Go to the polls.
Yeah. All right. We got to wrap this up because we need to do our dating corner and we need to record ads tonight. We cannot forget.
Next
thank
up
you
on,
to,
yeah.
thank you to, I don't have the book with me. Thank you to Alec Molly. Thank you to Alec Molly, Out of Suns. It's on Amazon. I'm just making sure it's on Amazon. Go to Out of Suns and order Alec Molly's book. Go to exodus90.com/thecrunch to check out all everything that Exodus 90's got going on this summer. You heard about it in the ad. If you skip to the ads, go back and listen, because they're new and fresh and funky and fit. And we might have a third advertising partner this week, but the guy didn't get back to me with the ad copy. So,
oh, bummer.
We'll get him next time. Anyway, Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Tune in next week when we answer the question, should you vote?
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for Patrick. He's had blood pressure very high. We'll be praying for you, and we'll see you all next time.
Take a walk.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.